Okay, it's your turn now. We'll take your phone calls. And also, if you want to share with us some of your intent or prayer experiments, things that you've done, good or evil, that's next on Coast to Coast AM. Bill, what was the favorite part of your book, A Journey into Prayer?
My favorite part?
Yes, sir.
Well, I would think that I was able to put into words the experiments that were mathematical and pretty complex in the appendix. I was grateful I could do that, so it's on record for other people to pick up. Just so people know that A Journey into Prayer is the story of Spindrift. It's on a Reader's Digest level. It's okay. The appendix is where you get a little technical, but I stay away from mathematics because there we all hate math to some extent. And so that's probably what I'm the most proud of. And I also, I'm proud of the fact that I got so much help from people. People came out of the woodwork to help me with things. And in fact, when this strange situation happened with the Klingbeils and their so-called suicides, well, that mystery, after that happened, all kinds of people called me up with information, and different researchers from all over the world, from Japan, from people called me up. They were all in contact with the Klingbeils. The Klingbeils had met with people recently. They met just a week or two earlier. They had met with an astronaut that you probably have interviewed, Brian O'Leary. And had been in contact with a lot of people, so it was a very strange thing. So, talking about psychokinesis, here's an example of negative psychokinesis. When this was going on, I knew that I had to pay attention and write things down because things were moving very fast when all this happened. And here's what happened. But you remember Lynn McTaggart? You've probably
Lynn McTaggart, yes.
Taggart, yeah.
She's written a book called The Field.
Yeah, she relates about her cleaning lady, how angry she got at her. The cleaning lady brushed and ruined the chrome on her Art Deco faucets. Lynn was so upset, she was angry with her and was sending this out. When Lynn went to bed, soon her spleen got injured. She got hurt in her spleen. Then Lynn found out that about the same time her spleen was injured, the cleaning lady fell off a bus and broke her leg.
Oh my God.
And one wonders if our unconscious negative intentions go out there and affect others. And you know they do, and it's something we have to be aware of.
That's true.
And here's something about this too. You were talking about earlier. Did you know that one of the disciples of Jesus recorded him saying that he who hates his brother is a murderer? Have you ever heard that?
I have not heard that line.
That's in the Bible. But I'll get the verse for you. But just think of that. Now, that isn't a quantum physics scare. I don't know what it is. That we entangle with whomever we're having thoughts with. This road rage is a physical manifestation of it. But just think about just sending out hate towards somebody, and you're a murderer. That's what it says.
Were the Klingbeils wealthy?
No.
They were
They
not.
have to. Everything was out of pocket for them. And of course, being healers, you kind of, you know, some cases are charity cases and people pay you as they go. But I will say this, that when they got in trouble with the church, he made about $40,000 as a practitioner, and John made some. But of course, when that was all, when they were kicked out for all this scientific inquiry, their income went down drastically.
And who would
And we so we kind of
want
helped
them.
them out.
Who would want to get to them?
Well, this is a wild subject. I think it has to do with people that don't want things to get out. I think that it's this knowledge area. That's what's so great about Coast to Coast. I think there's certain things. Probably some people think they're protecting the truth. The religious people probably think they're taking this. We're testing a sacred subject, and you know what is. To do with that, you got to stop that. Other people said, well, this is our area. We have a monopoly in the psychic area. We don't know other people do this. And then you have the defense mechanism working on people, and they make people do things. Sometimes we're be drained by the collective conscience to do evil, and we don't know why. This gets back to what's now is our own thought. Now, on the psychokinesis thing, I got to tell you what happened a few days after the so-called suicides. And I had all these people calling me and telling me things that this is why I was thinking about putting a book together. I knew I had to write these events down. So I pulled up a chair and started typing a list of these strange and dark events that were occurring in the last few days. And as I typed, it was very upset. It was very emotional for me. The leg on my chair cracked off, and I fell hard on the floor as I was typing this. And so I was sore on the floor, and I said to myself, if ever I had an example of negative psychokinesis,
yep,
this is it.
You did it to yourself.
I did it to myself.
Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you about our bully neighbor.
A bully neighbor, and we did something to the bully, didn't we?
We did something, but I think we did a really cool thing.
All right, go ahead.
We were very, this guy was like urinating in people's yards, blocking people's driveways with all his cars, music at 99 decibels. He was the neighbor from hell. And he was affecting everybody. And so we got together and we said, what are we going to do? And some people said, well, we'll pray for him to feel guilt. I said, no. What we finally did was I was very aware that we couldn't harm him in any way. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't influence him without his will. We couldn't even, like, pray for him to move away because that's manipulating his...
You couldn't or you wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. And so what we said was, he's so dark. And what happens when you turn the light on in a dark room? The dark goes away. So we got everybody together and we said, let's just bomb him with light. And so we told people whatever their belief was. You can use sunlight. You can use the white light of the Holy Spirit. I said the only thing we can't use is firelight because we don't want to burn his house down.
Right.
And everybody just bombed this guy with light.
Constantly.
Yeah. And we started this about 6 months ago, and George, 2 weeks ago, he moved away. He moved all the way to the other side of the United States.
He probably
doesn't even know why.
And you know what? I'm like the happiest person on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, who would ever expect it, right?
Yeah.
That shows you when you try to
and
do
so
the
for your experiment, if you want to do an experiment to try to heal the earth, just send love and light. And if you want to put in a disclaimer that says,
See, and you
no
did
harmful
it.
Harmful effects, no harm to anyone.
Yeah, you did it without negativity. I like that.
Yeah, that's the only way it can work, because if we'd used negativity, it would have come back on us.
I agree. Bill, your reaction?
Well, I liked it because it was unexpected. They had an unexpected result there. Now, where the defense mechanism was to come into this, if you turn around and try to use that as a formula and everything else, then the defense mechanism will find out your pattern. Well, why that worked was it was original thought, it had a pure motive, and it was a loving, and you did make a decision there, and that was good. You were going to try to get rid of evil without being evil. But what happens is that once these patterns, we think they work real well, unfortunately, we can't repeat them. That's the trouble with the psychic stuff. We got to come up with a fresh approach. And that everyone had their own, I like what you said, too, that everyone had their own version of light. I'm not thinking of the light as a Baptist light, or I'm not thinking of this as a Jewish light, or as a new, and everyone had their own version. So the defense mechanisms have to rush around and cover all that, and they can't do it. Everyone's being creative their own way. And you beat them. You beat it, and had a creative answer. The guy moved away. He probably didn't feel why he moved away, and that's just fine. He just moved away. He just said, well, maybe I'm supposed to move, you know.
He probably feels better, too.
Probably.
First-time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Yes, George.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm from Cohasset, Massachusetts.
Okay, sir.
I'm very happy to be on with you. And I'm enjoying your guest very much, but
thank
I have
you.
To say I had a problem with a few things you said. Very limiting beliefs. You said it was harder to have positive thoughts and positive prayers than the wrong or evil prayers because there's so many wrong answers and just one right answer.
Yes, this is what we found out. We had a lot of people pray for. This is one of the surprises in our test, is that people would pray for our organisms, and they would have what they thought was a beneficial effect on the organisms. In fact, they were actually manipulating the organisms and sending in a direction that was unnatural for them. So we conclude from that a lot of people pray, but they have their own ideas and agendas in the subconscious mind of what is best for a situation. I'll give you an example. We had one of our Spindrift people who was very good at Thy Will Be Done prayer, who was a veterinarian assistant. And she works in an exotic store with exotic animals, and there was this, of all things, an octopus was sick, and it got very high fever. And, of course, her agenda was to reduce the fever, but that wasn't really praying in a non-goal-directed way, but she thought she was. Well, I'm going to pray to reduce the fever. So she found herself thinking that she was doing what was best for it by praying in a non-goal-directed way, but with the agenda of lowering the fever. Well, it turned out she found out that when an octopus is in a condition like that, it's supposed to have a high fever to burn off the bacteria and the things affecting it. So actually, she was praying counter to what was in the best interest of it. So we do these things sometimes benignly, but a lot of times we're praying ineffectually. And Jesus points out that, you know, we do ask and receive, but sometimes we're asking with our wants and our lusts in mind, and that's overriding what we should really be asking for. He talks about that. So we really have to be careful of our modes in prayer. Are we really asking for what is best in the situation, or are we just asking for what we think is best or what's best for us? And it's something to really consider.
Well, I think it's very simple, though, to keep it positive and to pray for the highest and best, and just ask the whatever your higher power, God, the light, to shine the right light, to do the right thing. You know, not that I know what the answer is, but that there is a highest and best.
You got the idea.
So, and that's so simple, and that's all you have to do.
Well, it's simple to do it consciously, but we have to be aware of what our unconscious mind is. We have all these agendas in our unconscious mind running.
The other thing is, I've seen, you mentioned also that prayer has to be private in order to be effective, and I've seen quite the opposite effect. When a group has a similar intention and puts their minds together, it's very powerful, very positive.
Well, that's fine. There's examples of that. I'm just trying to show you that the secret to prayer, to find out how to and run the defense mechanisms, is to do what Jesus did. You close the door behind you, you go into the room, and you pray in secret, and the Father that sees you in secret rewards you to yourself. And that's the way that the defense mechanisms cannot read your mind. And, of course, there's exceptions to everything, and yes, you can find exceptions, but I'm just saying that is the secret for individual prayer.
Let's go to our wildcard line. Hello there.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm calling from Ohio. My name's Beverly. I also wanted to ask Bill about the fact you said to pray in private. I was diagnosed with a terminal illness and was given like 2 months to live, and went to a healing service, a prayer service. We have a doctor here in Cleveland who does these prayer services. And knock on wood, I'm 2.5 years from my death sentence, and of course I attribute it to prayer, but it wasn't in private. I mean, the church was full of people, and you know, he touches you and prays. What do you feel about this? I mean, do you believe that that's why I was healed, or do you think something else was going on?
Well, when you get into, by the way, whatever people do, their worst, your result-oriented is great. What I was trying to point out is that the private prayers yourself is a way for to having defense mechanisms and the collective consciousness is trying to undo you, not see what you're doing. When you're public about it and have all these things going on, you run the risk of having interference from other things coming in, but it can be effective. And, of course, a lot of people of one mind can be very effective, and their motive is to love you and surround you with love and heal you. And there are a lot of explanations why people are healed. And depending if you're a skeptic or not interested or somewhere in between or a believer, you can come up with your explanations. Of course, I would tend to believe that prayer is what's sustaining you, and that's really great. And we're grateful that there's people out there that are actually practicing these things on a regular basis. So the more people that do this, the more they'll understand that we can resonate good and power and truth and life out there to counter the evil influences that are in the world now, especially criminal and terrorist influences. But we're certainly glad it applies to your health, too. Congratulations.
Thank you. One more question. When you are praying in private, does it have to be said out loud, or can you just pray it in your mind, you know?
I say the rosary
every night, and I don't know, you know.
Well, what's great about the rosary is it keeps you on track. You know where you are in your prayers, and that's kind of a good thing. But you can do it out loud, but I tend to think silent prayer is a little better because it's a little more silent. It's a little less overheard. I remember I went to a prayer group once, and everybody was going around the room praying out loud and saying what they wanted. Well, I ended up getting everybody's gossip. I didn't know so many people had personal problems.
Right.
Well, I ended up hearing everybody. I think sometimes it's better to keep things to yourself between you and God. So the ear is, there's only one ear hearing you instead of many ears hearing you.
Wow. Well,
that's a general rule.
Okay, you're welcome. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, is that me?
It sure is.
This is Delayed Real George.
Hi.
I have a question for Bill. what can you do when people are praying for you for something that you don't want?
Oh, my gosh, that's the whole problem. People are praying goal-directed and manipulating people all the time. This is what we find out is the danger of prayer. I mean, I can give you an example of someone in our Spindrift group. When her church found out that she was in Spindrift, she was called in front of the congregation, the church, and she was told, we're praying for you to be to separated from this group, this cult, this evil thing you were doing. You know, she didn't want
right.
And so I guess all you can do is love them back, because you're not going to change their mind.
Well, and I know it comes from a place of love. I'm an empath. I do tarot card readings. I was just getting ready to open an office, and I have people that are telling me Christ is the only way you're going to heaven. And I said, you know what? When you get there and you see me there, I'm going to hug you and say, surprise.
Yeah, there are a lot of. I think that the quality in your thought and holiness in your thought and our own spiritual growth gives us indications of what God is. When other people start imputing to us what God is, that becomes a problem, because we have to find out individually. It's like you can't have somebody else practice the trumpet for you. You have to learn to play it yourself. And so you just have to love these people. But there's a lot of people out there that are not trying to be evil with their prayers, but they're doing a lot of damage because they're trying to control people and get them to change and everything. This is exactly what I'm talking about. So we have to be very careful with our thoughts when we find out that we're actually affecting people.
With only 4 people left at Spindrift, are they still doing research, Bill?
Well, we're doing research, but it isn't as tightly controlled in the scientific sense. And we are doing some things, but I wouldn't call it on the tight, real good science level with methodology and everything the clean bios were, but we are finding other people who are interested in our experiments and learning from them in different institutions.
Why can't you get grant money for this?
George, I talk all about that in the book. We never got grant money. We just had deep pockets, and we don't know why. I remember there was this one place we went to for grant money, and instead of giving it to us, they gave $300,000 to some psychic healer on some island, and he just ran off with the money.
Ugh. $300,000.
And I use that as one example. I can go other.
Is this the guy in the Philippines?
Well, this is one of the guys in the Philippines. This faking stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of fakers out there. Let's put it this way. It's going to be very difficult in the future to prove a lot of things, because there's so many people out there sabotaging these things from coming about. Now, this is probably something that plays into your book pretty well. I mean, you got a few people like your aunt and other people out there and people you interview who are trying to legitimately show that psychic things have a basic, spiritual things have a basic. Then you got these other people out there that they're just doing it to make money. Some people are in it and they're making up stories and selling books. And then you got other people that are complete frauds. So it's a very difficult thing. And a lot of people take money fraudulently. It's the trickster. It's the defense mechanisms coming in and trying to make sure that no human being can get a fix on anything paranormal in a scientific way. You can believe what you want, and you can do what you want, but when you start to prove these things, that's when the enemy comes in and says, no way.
Where do you get the book, A Journey into Prayer?
A Journey into Prayer by Bill Sweet. You can go to the Spindrift website, spindriftresearch.org, and you can go to amazon.com, and you might want to go to my publisher and instead, it's exlibris.com. It's on there, too. If somebody prefers using the telephone, the telephone number for exlibris is 1-888-795-4274. That's 1-888-795-4274. You can ask us questions, and we hope that you'll get a lot out of A Journey into Prayer. It certainly goes into some unusual areas.
We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls with Bill Sweet on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we've got Linda Moulton Howe for a couple hours tomorrow. Then we'll go into our Friday into Saturday open lines. Linda joins us once a month, and she's got a whole bunch of things to investigate. The Chad UFO photos that we've had on the website for several weeks, the incredible stuff that's gone all around the country, and some other issues as well, conversations with Linda, and then open lines. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Bill Sweet. We'll take your final phone calls. Bill, let's go right to them. They're lining up for you. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Bob from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
I could tell you about an experience I had back in New York in 1970. It's when I first came back to the Lord.
Okay.
And I used to, I dropped out of college and I was in the process of getting drafted. So I spent a lot of time out in the woods praying, walking, and reading in the Bible. And I came to the conclusion God was in the light. So I used to go out and I used to have this special meditation and prayer where I would pray into the sun. And I would pray very intently. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, would come a jet fighter, very low, pretty close to where I was. And over a series of months, I went, and when I worked myself up into this meditation and this prayer and go someplace, the same thing would happen. And I was wondering, you know, and I'll take this off the air, I'm just wondering if somehow my prayer was generating power that the government was picking up on.
Hmm. What do you think?
That's certainly original. I think what is going to happen, and I write about this in the middle of my book in the interlude chapter, there is going to come a time when people can read our thoughts at a distance from the government and everybody. That's why it's so scary that these things are actually going to be proven true. And even the skeptics, so they might not buy the spiritual stuff, but they'll have to buy this because it'll be scientifically verifiable. So I think it is, maybe we need to do a little bit more prayerful work of going into that secret place so our signals are not being picked up by other ears, only the divine ear. But that just shows you how careful we have to be with our thoughts. I can see it as a possibility because I've heard of people praying and then somebody else can come over their house. Well, I'll give you an example. I know of a guy who woke up in the middle of the night and he had this urge to call his friend in Europe. And so he called his friend in Europe, and he stopped the guy from committing suicide, just like they had that thought come to him. So he actually picked up something in the air and did that. So there was a good example of preventing something. So there are these signals that go out. We are sending signals out all the time. We're emitting signals and sending them out. That's why we have to be aware of what we're thinking. And we certainly want to improve our thoughts and have better quality, more empathy, more compassion, and like that. So the day is coming when this stuff will not be science fiction anymore.
Let's go to our international line. Your turn. Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Rick on 6:40 a.m.
Out of Toronto.
Yeah, 2 points. Long-time listener, long-time caller. I think the key to your question there is not to pray for yourself, to do the Lord's Prayer, and then do 3 Hail Marys. Well, at least that's what I do. I'm sure that this can be accomplished in any religion, is to pray for everyone that's alive right now, pray for your relatives, and pray for all of God's creations. Also, everlasting life and light to all the dead souls through time. With the Ouija board thing, aren't you in effect including everyone that's listening on the air in the experiment?
That's a good question, Rick. I'm not sure. That's something I also have to ponder.
And that could be either good or bad. I mean, in effect, haven't I just altered everyone's subconscious?
I mean, if I'm right that it's the individual, not the Ouija board, it's not going to have any effect. But if I'm wrong, and it's the Ouija board, then the implications could be huge.
Considering the amount of people that would be included in the quote-unquote experiment.
I agree.
Have a night.
All right.
Well, the fact that the subconscious mind can even move a Ouija board, that in itself is a paranormal effect. So that's something.
I'm kicking around the idea of doing a Ouija board show for 1 hour, Bill, as you've probably heard by now.
Yeah, I did.
And believe it or not, though, it's about 60% of the people think I should do it.
Well, I think we can thank the French for at least the invention of that, huh?
First-time caller line, your turn. Hi there. Hello?
Me?
I think it's you. It might be you. If you are you, it is you.
I am me. Well, I am actually a first-time caller, long-time fascinated listener. I just love your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
I became a hypnotist when I grew up, and I realized the power of the mind. And I had a client one time who came to me who had just been diagnosed with cancer from stem to stern. They gave her about 6 weeks. And She came to me for a couple of sessions, and then the day before her surgery, we had what we called a prayer tree. Everybody gets on the phone, and they call somebody else who calls somebody else, and so on and so forth. And she's walking around 10 years later.
Oh, I love it.
They literally opened her up from stem to stern, took everything out, cleaned it all up, put it back. They really didn't have much hope for her, and it was just amazing. People gave her all kinds of things. One girl gave her a diamond and said, this brought me good luck when I had my surgery. Now you keep it for a while.
How's her attitude now? I guess it's pretty good.
It's amazing. She was already a wonderful person anyway, but this is just, if possible, just she has like a light that glows from her. She's just an amazing person.
Yeah, what I like about that too is that you have these prayer trees and you're branching out and you're keeping the defense mechanisms off guard because they can't figure out who's praying and what things are going on. You're making it a very circuitous way of bringing prayer to the individual, and that's good. That's like an original way of approaching prayer, and that has an effect when you keep it going and keep it creative and keep it fresh. It's very important to keep thoughts fresh.
You know, people always say, you know, you got to think positive, the power of positive thinking. Do you believe that, Bill?
Well, I think positive thoughts are good, but that gets back to talking about the secret again. I think positive all the time. But, you know, a lot of people, I think it helps. I would have to say that I'm probably not that positive as some people are, but I think we can be a little positive, a little negative, and a little bit in between all the time.
Well, we are human,
aren't we? I think
we
have to be realistic. I think the idea is you have a positive attitude, but be realistic. That's interesting. Now, wait a second. Jesus said three times that when you pray, also watch. This is a very interesting thing. Pray and watch, pray and watch, pray and watch. He says that three times. So we can be positive, but we have to keep our eyes open to what's going on around us. We can't be a person with a head in the sand. And that's probably the answer to your question. Be positive. Well, what did Reagan say? Trust but verify?
Trust but verify.
We do that with our prayers, too.
Wild Card Line, you're up with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, hon.
Hi. My girlfriend, rest her soul, she just passed away, but she told me that during our relationship over 16 years, I had a lot of drug problems and relationship problems and just bad, like, stuff around me. And she said that it was maybe attributed to the fact that I hadn't been baptized.
I don't think that would be the case, but Bill, you're the expert here.
Oh, I think this is probably some of the dangers of religion now coming in and adding fear and guilt. And boy, that would drag a person down. I think you have to throw that out and see that you're an individual idea and light beam of God, and that nobody from the outside can manipulate your identity and who you are.
What's the old saying about you have a black cloud over your head? What is that?
You're asking me or asking her?
Asking you.
Well, I think that's probably this whole idea of dragging us down to the earth. That's the whole idea of the alien thing. It suppresses us from finding out about psychic and spiritual things. We can go higher. We have to increase the goodness and love and that we can express, and we have to fight for it sometimes. And we have to fight for creativity. We have to fight to find new talents and new creative ways of being. This is all part of the spiritual progress, and it also plays into prayer to get rid of that dark cloud. Can't get rid of it completely, but if we find we are gifted and talented and we are doing things and we are out there doing a mission, we will find that we are getting better weather than a dark cloud.
Well, let's move next west of the Rockies. It's your turn.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Greetings. I'm calling you for one reason, and that is I'm initiate of the three big fraternities. I'm a master Freemason, OTO. Do you remember Lon Milo Duquette you had on?
Yes.
A few weeks ago? I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but he's the Deputy Grand Master General of the entire OTO. I'm not sure if he it's not a secret, but he didn't exactly, as far as the herd.
He didn't jump up and down to tell us about it.
Right. Anyway, the point is I was calling to give the initiated viewpoint on some of this, especially the silence that your guest is talking about, which is just absolutely incredibly important. We have it's called the Riddle of the Sphinx, and it's to know, to will, to dare, and to keep silent. And it's exactly what he's talking about. He's hitting the nail on the head. It displaces energy, actually. When you're not praying in silence, and keeping silent of even your things that you're doing in your life, your plans, your goals, your magic.
That's a good point. That's a good point. When you have things come to you for a mission or goals or things that you're praying about, you have more effective reaching that goal of keeping your mouth shut until the thing actually transpires. The more people that know about what you're doing, the more influence you're going to have. Even your friends will work against you and they won't even know it. I know that, I don't know how this was with you, George, because you were head on the radio all the time, but I know that when I took a writing course, they said, don't tell anybody you're writing the book until it's done or you'll never get it done. That was the advice given to me. So.
Well, that's pretty accurate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to say something to somebody.
Right.
But, I know some people who have auditioned for things, and they have learned to keep it quiet, whether they get it or not. They don't want to brag about it or talk about it because they tend to believe that gives them bad luck.
You know, and what does that mean? The bad luck simply is that there's people out there interfering with you. And, you know, that's funny, too. I've even had this. I'm not saying I'm guilty of this. Sometimes when somebody's better than us or they have a talent that we wish we had, we're envious of them. Well, we're sending them bad vibes.
Most people don't want other people to succeed.
I have to say I'm guilty of that, too.
Why is that? Why can't we just say, hey, congratulations, go for it?
It's something we have to work on. If we could more confidently know that each of us is a complete image and likeness of God with special talents and gifts that nobody else has, and we have a mission to do that nobody else can do, that should wake us up so we don't do that.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's good to be on tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I've kind of got a story and then a question.
Okay.
First of all, I do have a background in witchcraft and sorcery, and then I kind of turned my back on that and became a Christian. But last summer, I had a very close family member do something to me and my family that caused me to become almost murderously angry. And in this anger, I played out several different fantasies in my mind. You know how you do. You think about doing things,
yes.
But you don't. Well, I had gotten to the point where I had actually thought about, fantasy-wise, calling up an elemental spirit of fire to burn their house down. And I kind of put it out of my mind, but later that night I took a shower, and while I was in the shower, I was still incredibly angry, and I was kind of playing out this fantasy in my mind. And what I saw in my mind was I had laid out an altar, and I had all my things laid out, you know, for each element. And I was wearing the cloak, and in my mind, I was calling on something to bring havoc into their life to kind of pay them back. Well, at the time, I didn't realize it, but to me, it was just kind of a angry fantasy kind of thing. And then, of course, I got out, went to work, came home that morning, went to bed, got up that afternoon, and my wife told me that that morning, their entire water system and plumbing had basically exploded. That they had, the toilets had blown water through the house that was ankle deep. Their water main had blown out in the yard. It was ankle deep. And I got to thinking that while I was in the shower, the water was ankle deep because I have a slow drain. And I was just thinking, I wonder if I had called upon the water element, you know, just by having such an emotional draw.
There's wonderful examples of what you're talking about there. That's pretty wild. One of the definitions at Spindrift is associational linkage, and that refers to the mind of a person connecting to one another person's thought or to another situation or to a thing. John Klingbeil, one of the Spindrift originators, said, when you think it, you link it. And I think that's what you had there. And we have to be very careful of our unconscious thoughts because they do these things. And I mentioned this Bible verse earlier, whoever hateth his brother is a murderer. I have the verse here. It's 1 John 3:15, if anybody wants to look it up. It's kind of a scary thought, and it shows you what the future is like. We're going to all have to be watchful of what we're thinking.
All right, let's take a few more calls, and then we're going to have to wrap it up for the night. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Yes, good morning, George. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Good to hear you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, anyway, what I called in about is like an experiment. I got two things to ask. The one experiment, you know, you was talking earlier about, you know, the people over there where our boys and girls are fighting, you know, they pray every day that we fail, that we die. And, you know, I was thinking of an experiment with all the people that listen to Coast, if they could just sort of in a mental way form a line all the way up the East Coast and just at a certain time and just everybody just get their minds on prayer and just pray for, you know, see if they could be, in other words, block the evil that's trying to come across and just get everything go out, you know, work pretty good. Everything work right.
They might be more qualified than a lot of people to do this because the people who listen to Coast, like the people in Chicago who belong to the Coast to Coast Chair Club, by the way, they're just open to things. This whole idea of being open and not putting barriers up, well, that's not right, or I can't do this, or I won't think that. I mean, they're just open to all possibilities. That's a way of beating the defense mechanism because you're expecting the unexpected as you're doing this. And in the process, you get results that way. You're not anticipating what happens, but you know that what you're doing will bring some kind of good result, even though you can't anticipate precisely what that is.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the second thing I wanted to bring out. And now I'm a firm believer in prayer, totally 100%. And years and years ago, I was in Germany, and I was walking down the sidewalk in between the barracks, and a young lady that I had known, a year before, her face just like appeared right in front of me. Well, I didn't know why her face appeared in front of me, but I started praying. I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, if you would, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe she needs help, whatever it could be. You know, if it's your will, you know, move for her. Well, for 3 days, I couldn't get her off my mind, and I prayed just about it, you know, all the time in 3 days. And then I quit thinking about it. I never even thought about it again. And then when I went back to stateside, I went to her mother's house, which was a good friend of mine. And her mother and her sister was there, and they said, did anything happen at this time? Well, I done forgot what month it was and the date and all that. I done forgot. And I said, one day I was walking, and her face come right up in front of me. And I said, I didn't know what it was, so I just went to praying.
And that's how it works. Bill, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.